More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on More to Life, let your no mean no. Do you tend to say yes when you need to say no? Tired of letting people talk you into things instead of respecting your limits? We'll help you reclaim your voice. 877-573-7825. All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to Life.
Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our homes.
Practical. Theology of the Body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with them.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, let your no mean no. It's hard to say no. We often struggle to know when it's okay to say no, if it's okay to say no, how to hold on to that no once we've said it, especially when people try to make us feel guilty. So we're talking about all that today on More to Life. Give us a call. The number's 877-573-7825, and tell us, do you tend to say yes when you need to say no? Or are you tired of letting people talk you into things instead of respecting your limits? We want to help you reclaim your voice. Again, 877-573-7825.
I think this can be very confusing, because often there are things like, well, I'm not really sure what I want to do, right? You're thinking, let's take something very, very easy, very banal. You get invited out to go to dinner with a group of friends. And you're thinking, oh, you know, I really wanted that night home by myself. I've really been tired. I just need some rest. But you're also thinking, yeah, but I've said that before. And then I end up feeling groggy. And when I go out with my friends, sometimes it really does edify me. And I'm glad I'm gone, you know, that I went out with them. And so we're not even sure. Should we say yes? Should we say no ourselves? And then there's the bigger stuff, where we know that we are called to be charitable and loving and an example of Jesus to the world. So we end up wanting to give more, be there for people. But Jesus himself said, let your yes be yes and your no be no. And often we feel torn in a bunch of different directions and don't know what to say or how to handle it. And then there are the folks that won't take no for an answer. So it can be complicated.
Yeah, so we're going to give you a framework for managing all that stuff gracefully, and we want to help apply it to the specific challenges you're facing. So give us a call at 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. And so tell us,
is there a situation where you've been saying yes to a person or a commitment or demand on your time that you're concerned isn't good for you? Is someone in your life, a family member, a friend, a coworker, even your own inner guilt, pressuring you to say yes to something even though you're not sure it's what's best? Or have you already said no to somebody, but they keep pushing and pressuring you to change your mind? If you're having a hard time knowing how or when to say no or stick with a decision when you do, well, let us help you reclaim your confidence.
877-573-7825. Join the conversation. Let us help you know when to say yes and when to say no. 877-573-7825. You know, every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's Theology of the Body. And, you know, if you're wondering, well, how could some theology help me develop the confidence to know when and how to say no, it's a fair question, but there's a good answer, because St. John Paul, when he was Pope, asked a huge question himself. Basically, he said, look, if we take everything that God's given us, scripture, salvation history, creation, what universal principles could we discern about God's plan for living a more joyful, abundant life? And his answer to that question became what people now call the theology of the body.
The theology of the body helps us to know when to say yes or no confidently by reminding us that saying yes or no should be based on love, not sentiment. Well, what's the difference? Sentiment is guided by the desire to make ourselves and others feel better in the moment, regardless of whether or not it's the right thing to do. But authentic Christian love, on the other hand, is guided by something deeper, a genuine commitment to work for our own and others' ultimate good. And that distinction changes everything about how we make our decisions.
You know, as Catholics, we're called to say yes or no, not based on how we feel or how the other person might react, but based on what we truly believe, prayerfully, is best for them and for us. You know, if you can't say yes without compromising your own well-being or jeopardizing your ability to give the primary relationships and responsibilities that God's entrusted to you the time and attention they deserve, or if saying yes would actually enable the other person to do something, you know, irresponsible or even harmful, then you're not just permitted to say no, you're obliged to. Because in those cases, no is the only loving answer.
So this doesn't mean that we stop being generous. Absolutely not. Love calls us to stretch and to sacrifice and to step outside of our comfort zones. But the question to ask is always, can I do this without jeopardizing my well-being, without failing to give my primary relationships and responsibilities the time and attention they deserve, or without enabling the person to do something that is irresponsible or even inappropriate? If I can't say yes to all of these points, then the only truly loving response is to say no and to stick to it.
Now, here's the good news. If you follow this format, if you will, because your no is rooted in principle rather than feeling, you're not going to be vulnerable to guilt trips, manipulation, or second-guessing, because your answer was never about emotions to begin with. You know, Jesus' command to let your yes be yes and your no be no in Matthew 5:37 wasn't just about being decisive. It's really about letting love, as opposed to guilt or obligation or the need for approval, be the one thing that guides every decision that we make. So if you are struggling with this, if you're thinking, okay, that sounds great in theory, but when it comes to this situation or this person who's pressuring me or this situation where I feel guilty or this thing that would be good to say yes to, but I don't know how to do it without, sucking up all my time and energy.
Or even, I don't know what to do. It's outside my comfort zone, but does that mean it's bad for me? Or am I just being unwilling to move outside my comfort zone? It's sometimes hard to discern what is just something that we feel more comfortable with and what's something that we really do have to say no to. All of this can get complicated because we're dealing with ourselves and a lot of other human beings. Let us help you figure it out today and take the steps to help you move towards certainty. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and we'll start taking your questions.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come to you and we bring all those situations where we're not sure whether we should say no, or how to say it when we should, or how to hold on to it when we have said no. We bring those situations to you, Lord, and we ask you for the clarity to know the difference between when we're being just sentimental versus when we're being truly loving. Help us to base our decisions not on how we're feeling in the moment or how we think the other person will react, but really on what we prayerfully believe works for our ultimate good and the ultimate good of the other people involved. Help us to make sure that any yes we say is rooted in our knowledge that
saying yes doesn't jeopardize our well-being or doesn't jeopardize our ability to give our primary relationships or responsibilities the time and attention they deserve, or doesn't enable the other person to do something that's inappropriate or irresponsible or unhealthy. Help us to make sure that our yeses are always rooted in a genuine intention and commitment to work for the ultimate good of everybody, and that our noes are rooted in the same, so that we can't be manipulated out of saying yes or saying no, and we're able to follow your command to let our yes be yes and our no be no, and that everything else is from the evil one. We ask all this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great.
Pray for us.
Today on More to Life, the show, you know, is let your no mean no. And this is a challenging thing, and I have to say this is something it's really been helpful to me to apply these principles that we're outlining for you. Because it's really just the scales fall from my eyes, because it is so easy to get caught up in, I feel bad about this, but I want to make them happy, or I don't want to disappoint them, or a million things like that. And if I can really root my decision to say yes or no in praying about what I genuinely believe is working for my ultimate good and the ultimate good of the other people involved, I can be very confident in my answers to folks, and I don't have to go back on things after the fact because I made some emotional decision. Let us help you today do that exactly on our show titled Let Your No Mean No, 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with David, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Nebraska.
David, welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you? David, are you there?
Yep, I can hear his car door open. Hey, David, you are on the air.
What's up?
He's getting in the car, turning off that sound. Are you with us, David?
Okay,
well, hold on, let's give him a second. You with us, David? Sounds like we would drop.
Well, hopefully David will get his technical issues worked out there. We'll bring him back on in a little bit.
In the meantime, we have another question. We do, indeed. So this is from Joanne that came in this morning on questions@moretoliferadio.com. She said, I wanted advice on how to deal with a situation with my husband. I've been stressing about it. Basically, we have talked many times about our finances, planning to buy a home. We have a daughter who's in Catholic school. We share a bank account, but he only contributes a limited amount. He has his own business, which is not going very well. He contributes about $2,000 a month. I'm the main breadwinner. My contention is that he's helping pay for his mother's caretaker, although they should have enough money, but he wants to control who takes care of her because the father is having an affair. The person that takes care of her kind of spies on him. He also helps his sibling pay for his nephew's school. I told him it wasn't correct. He keeps financing/helping his family while we live uncomfortably in a small rented apartment. I feel like he's stealing from me to finance their lifestyle. I feel his sibling lives above their means. I'm very much tempted to have separate bank accounts. For months I've considered this. Just yesterday we had a conversation and I told him how I felt, but he still feels he needs to provide for his nephew and pay for the caretaker. He is a good Catholic man. He volunteers in our church. He's a good father as well, and overall a good husband. My only problem is his management of money, and I don't think he's a good planner. Thank you for any advice you can give. And that's from Joanne.
All right, Joanne, thank you for the question. And, you know, this is a perfect example of how not saying no can get us into a lot of trouble.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have this tendency to believe that because we know we're called to make sacrifices, that anything that involves a sacrifice is automatically good and loving. And the theology of the body really helps clarify that by reminding us that love must be responsible, which is the idea that anything we do really needs to work for the ultimate good of somebody. It shouldn't enable them in doing harm. It shouldn't disable them in some way, mm-hmm. or make them less effective or less holy or less mature. And the more we do that, we're basing our decisions on sentiment rather than principle and love, like we were talking about in the reflection. You know, again, sentiment is about, I just want everybody to feel good now. I want to feel good. I want them to feel good. Or I don't want to feel bad and I don't want them to feel bad, regardless of whether it's the right thing to do or not. But love really requires me to make my decisions based on what I genuinely believe is best for me and for them. And that goes back to these three questions that we mentioned in our reflection. You know, so your husband needs to be asking, can I give this money to my family without jeopardizing my well-being, or without failing to give my primary relationships and responsibilities the time and attention they deserve, or without enabling the other people to do something that's irresponsible or inappropriate? And if you can't say yes to all three of those things, then you have to say no.
And I think where there's confusion here is that your husband is very well-meaning in terms of his family of origin, but he needs to remember, you both do, that when you took your marriage vows, you became each other's primary responsibility, and your any children that come from this marriage are his primary responsibility. So if you are living in a very uncomfortable situation, if it's perhaps a little unsafe, anything like that, his primary responsibility is to make sure that his wife and his children are well taken care for, well taken care of. Not just that you have basic, you know, food and shelter, but are well provided for. And his brother's responsibility is to take care of his own son and his son's schooling. And he needs to step up and be doing that. And if your husband is constantly facilitating that, the brother has no reason to leave his own comfort zone or grow or stretch and take care of his own son.
And it's a bit about the father.
As far as the mom goes,
the affair, and that's just way too much drama for you to be involved in, for him to be involved in. He's fallen. Look, what's happening is he's confusing sacrificial love with codependence.
Yes.
And the difference is that sacrificial love is always ordered to the good of the people that I'm sacrificing for. I'm making this sacrifice because in order to do this, I'm helping them be better people. But codependence is, I'm making this sacrifice that enables them to be worse people. And as much as your husband, you know, is meaning well, you know, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. And this is a perfect example of that. Because everything he's doing is enabling his family to be irresponsible, unhealthy, you know, and incapable of acting like grown adults.
And it's wearing down the trust in your marriage. It's wearing down the commitment that you have to each other and eroding that, because he's not seeing you and the fruit of your marriage as his primary responsibility. The fact that he's actually living out a sacrament of marriage with you. So really having that conversation with him about, nope, this is what you promised. This is your primary responsibility, and we need to be working on that together, and perhaps with a financial advisor who can really help you to work this out.
Well, and so in the short term, if you need to force the issue, then yes, having separate bank accounts might be necessary because you need to protect your finances. I don't recommend that in general, and I don't recommend it as a long-term solution, but I could recommend it in this instance as a way of calling attention to the problem. But that's not going to solve the problem alone. I think that you guys are going to need to seek some professional help together. And I realize that you're going to say, well, this is his. If he's codependent, then he should go off and get fixed. But this is really something that the two of you need to work through together. And I would really encourage you to reach out for some faithful help to figure out how to respond to these challenges in a way that is healthy for everybody involved. And to that end, I'd suggest that you reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. We can hook you up with somebody to really help you navigate all of this. But yes, I agree with Lisa's suggestions as well to get a financial planner, but he's not going to be able to follow through on the plan unless he heals the wound that's making him make these irresponsible choices to begin with. Excuse me. I'd really encourage the both of you to download the podcast of the show and play it for your husband and listen to it together and really pray through how to respond to this. But there's nothing about what you described anyway that is really a healthy, appropriate, or Christian response to any of this. And so it's absolutely appropriate for you to set some financial boundaries here, even having the separate accounts for now. But then the larger issue, solving the deeper problem, the wound that's causing him to behave in this irresponsible way. I realize that he has a good heart and he means well, but we all mean well. That doesn't necessarily mean we're always doing well. Thanks for the question. If there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out to us here on the show or through CatholicCounselors.com to get that personalized support that you need, that faithful support to navigate these challenging issues. With that, we are taking your calls, listeners, at 877-573-7825. Today's show is titled Let Your No Mean No, as we talk about those times when it's hard to know when to say no, or yes, for that matter, or how to hold on to it once we've made the decision. Give us a call. Let's talk it out. When we come back, in addition to taking your calls, we'll be joined by Father Thomas Loya of the Tabor Life Institute. He'll be sharing some insights from the theology of the body on more confidently sticking to our decisions. Stick around for that and a whole lot more when More to Life continues after the break.
You like pizza?
Me too.
And for that, we can thank our friend Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Feeling worn out, overwhelmed, or just plain tired of feeling tired as a parent? Well, you're not alone. Parenting can drain even the most faithful moms and dads, especially at this time of year.
Join us, Dr. Craig and Lisa Popcheck, for a free Ave Maria Radio webinar, Reclaiming the Joy of Parenting, Overcoming Burnout, on Wednesday, March 18th at 7:30 p.m. Eastern.
Get practical, faith-filled tools to recharge your batteries and rediscover the joy of raising Catholic kids. Register now at AveMariaRadio.net. Hi, I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck from More to Life. Not having a will puts an unnecessary burden on your children. At MyCatholicWill.com, a legal will is as simple as 15 minutes filling out information about your family. The standard cost is $79.95. However, thanks to our partnership with MyCatholicWill.com, when you use the promo code AVE, A-V-E, your will is absolutely free. No hidden costs whatsoever. Visit MyCatholicWill.com.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popcheck.
I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck. Joining us right now, Father Thomas Loya of the Tabor Life Institute. Hey, Father Loya, welcome to More to Life.
Yes, great to be here. And I'm willing to be here. I said yes to be here, so I'm going to try it out.
There you go.
I hope you weren't thinking about saying no, but I'm glad you did say yes today. And so you wanted to talk actually about the challenge that a lot of people have in just saying yes kind of indiscriminately and the problem with doing that.
Yes, I know this is something that I battle with personally, I must confess, because as a priest, obviously, I get asked for things, but I also have abilities in other areas that I get asked for as well, and I find that I do sometimes say yes too often, and sometimes people tell me, you know, be careful, Father Tom, you're saying yes too much. Okay, so then I think to myself this, there's two levels. There's two reasons. First, it's not good for yourself. But also, it's not good for the other person, because what happens when you say yes too much, you start to get stressed in trying to comply with your yes, and then that other person, that's the part that I feel the worst about, the other person picks that up, and then you've made them feel guilty, like, gee, I shouldn't have asked him, whatever, because I see it stressing him, you know. Mm. And that sometimes happens to me, and that's when I really feel bad. You know, it's not just my own stress, but it's like, golly, what did I do to that person? They feel like bad to even ask me, and I should have been more honest. And that's what you're saying here, that to be honest about that. And the reason we're not is oftentimes is two levels. First, it is a psychological level, like you've been saying. It's about, you know, wanting that good feeling at the moment and so on. So it's a sort of a little dependency there psychologically. But what really helps me to behave in this area is the spiritual. I think to myself, Tom, you said yes, it's basically a pride thing. You know, you're flattered by the fact that you're asked, and you're going with that flattering. And that becomes a spiritual problem. And that's what really helps me to say no, because I don't want to have that spiritual problem. I want to do that thing spiritually to someone, or even psychologically. So what I do is I say no. And the times I've learned to master that, I'm still trying, is I kind of couch it. I said, you know, I'm really flattered or, you know, honored you asked me. It sounds like a great, exciting project. I'd love to do it. I can't do it at this time. If I say yes to you, that really wouldn't be fair to you. Sometimes I come right out and say that honestly. I'd love to say yes, but I can't, because I don't want them to think that what they're asking me is something I don't want to do, or there's something wrong with their project or what they're asking of me. What they're asking of me is valid and wonderful, and I communicate that to them so that my no might be a little bit softer. You know, I kind of couch the no, as it were, but I couch in that honesty. And you're doing that, as you're saying here in the program, that's the theology body way of loving. You're doing that for them. You're doing it for yourself too, so you don't feel guilty and all that, but you're doing it for them, and you have to be honest for their sake as well. And that's how I'm able to do it easier. I learned how to sort of couch it, so to make sure that I reassure them what you're asking me is wonderful, it's great, it's exciting, but I just can't do it. Or sometimes I'll say, I can't do it now, depending on the what the ask is. You know, maybe I can do it a little bit later. I got some other things on my plate, so I can't promise now, but I want to stay open to it.
And we'll talk about that, what we call the qualified yes technique, later on in the program. But Father Willie, I want to thank you for giving us some good principles for how we can say no and let our no be no when we mean it. And if folks would like to learn more about your good work, we encourage them to go to taborlife.org. That's taborlife.org. And with that, we are taking your calls, listeners, at 877-573-7825 on our show titled Let Your No Mean No. Stick around with your questions after this.
Today's programming is brought to you in part by a gift from our day sponsor. The annual Rose Mass for Catholic healthcare workers, celebrated by Bishop Boyer, takes place on Saturday, March 14th at 5 p.m. at St. Francis in Ann Arbor, followed by a dinner reception. Dr. Bob Collins, nationally recognized oncologist, will share his journey of conversion and stories of grace and healing. Suggested donation is $25. RSVP at bit.ly/Rose Mass.
I was working with a client who was obviously distracted. She was upset about comments she made publicly the night before that she had regretted. She explained how she tends to put her foot in her mouth when she speaks in public, especially when it's impromptu. She went on to explain that when she writes emails or notes, she's very concise and clear in her thinking. That was an epiphany moment for her. I asked her how things could have been different if she wrote her comments down first and waited before she responded. She quickly realized that writing her thoughts would have given her clarity and an ability to articulate her message more effectively. A good rule, write your thoughts down first and sit with them for a while before you send the message out, especially when you're upset. Remember the 24-hour rule, wait before responding. And I'll add, call on the Holy Spirit to give you the words. Pray before you pen it on paper and write it before you say it. This has been a Christ-Centered Communication Message. I'm Vanessa Denhagarmo, a communications evangelist and host of Epiphany.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Hi, I'm Lisa Popcheck. St. John Bosco is an important saint for Catholic families. Although he wasn't a parent, he was renowned for being a compassionate Christian teacher and the founder of a religious order dedicated to helping and educating children. At the time, people believed that children were little better than animals who responded only to physical punishment and harsh correction. One day in prayer, St. John Bosco received a heavenly vision where the Blessed Mother told him that children should be corrected not with blows, but with sweetness and charity. Deeply moved by this vision, Bosco developed an approach to discipline he called the preventive system, in contrast to what he considered to be the heavy-handed repressive system of his day. He taught his followers that even the most willful, defiant children would offer their heartfelt obedience if they were treated with love and respect. And not only did his approach work, but it raised a saint. His student, Saint Dominic Savio, is often called the first fruit of the preventive system. To learn more about Saint John Bosco and his preventive system, check out our book, Parenting Your Kids with Grace, or visit CatholicHOM.com.
Folks, you are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today's show is titled, Let Your No Mean No. Do you tend to say yes when you really need to say no? Are you tired of letting people talk you into things instead of respecting your limits? Or when you say no, are you tired of being talked out of it or manipulated or pressured? We want to help you reclaim your voice and your confidence. 877-573-7825. Before we take our next question, I want to let you know about a great opportunity to join a free webinar sponsored by Ave Maria Radio and hosted by Lisa and I, titled Reclaim the Joy of Parenting, Even When You're Burned Out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this time of year is rough for parents in particular.
So
it's kind of gloomy.
Rough.
It's hard to get out and do things.
There aren't any school holidays. It's rough.
And so we want to give you a break. We want to help you find ways to reclaim the joy of parenting, even in this season. So if you are looking for ways to avoid or overcome parenting burnout, join us next Wednesday, March 18th at 7:30 p.m. Eastern for a free webinar sponsored by Ave Maria Radio. Again, it's titled Reclaiming the Joy of Parenting, Overcoming Burnout. If you want to register, again, you do have to register. It's absolutely free. But if you go to AveMariaRadio.net, you'll see the link.
It'll be right there.
Yeah. It's on the carousel that's at the top of the page.
There you
just
go,
click it, and you can sign up right there on the site. So that's AveMariaRadio.net. Join us next Wednesday, March 18th at 7:30 p.m. Eastern for our free webinar, Reclaiming the Joy of Parenting, Overcoming Burnout.
Again, it's completely free, but that's how you get the link so that you can join. So go and register today before you forget.
AveMariaRadio.net. And then you could do /parenting burnout. All right. Hope to see you there. With that, let's take our next question on our show titled Let Your No Mean No, 877-573-7825.
Let's talk with our next caller who's listening to EWTN Radio in Michigan on Ave Maria Radio.
Hey there, listener. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Oh, thank you so much, Greg and Lisa, for taking my call. I have an alcoholic sister who is trying to come back to the church. She and I have been praying together, but just a couple of days ago, I suspected that she was drinking again, and she's been an alcoholic her entire life.
Hmm.
And I have decided that I have to set a boundary with her. And my sister likes to, she's manipulated over the years, and I want to stay strong. And mm-hmm. But I don't want her blood on my hands if she dies, because I tell her that she has to choose Christ. She has to get help.
Well, what's the boundary that you want to set exactly? What is it that you're asking her to do?
I'm asking her to surrender her life to the Lord and not look to me as her strength. She says, I can do it, Melissa. I can do it. I mean, I can do it. I can do
is
it.
Is she going to meetings to get, you know, to stay sober? Is she getting any kind of treatment, or is she just calling you or hanging around you and asking for everything from you?
She's answer your question, no. She's not getting treatment. She refuses. She doesn't want to listen to other people's problems. And she says, I can do it with your help. You can help me with this. You can help
okay.
me.
So
that's
okay.
very clarifying.
Thank
very
you.
Very clarifying.
So yeah, because what you were describing, you know, it wasn't a boundary. That was more of a request, right? You know, you're saying to somebody, I need you to do this, isn't a boundary. That's asking them to do something. A boundary would be saying, hey, listen, I want to support you in being healthy, and that's why I need you to be going to AA and to be getting treatment instead of telling me about all your problems, because it's not that I don't want to hear them, it's that I'm not qualified to help you. And I can support you by helping you get to meetings or hearing about, you know, what you're struggling with, whenever you've gone to counseling or gone to your meeting or whatever. I can support you in that. I can pray with you through that. But I can't support you unless you're doing that. Because what happens then is that you end up playing into her illusion that she can somehow do it on her own or just do it with your support. And she's going to suck you dry while she flushes her life down the toilet at the same time. And I know it's terrifying, you know, the risk here, but you have to set that boundary where you say, listen, I want to be part of your life and I want to support you. And I can do that if you're getting support from regularly going to meetings, if you're getting support from a counselor. I can step into that place and I can pray with you. I can help you process stuff that you're learning in counseling or that you're talking about in your meetings, you know, but I can't be the person that helps you be sober. I'm not qualified for that. I'm not able to help give you the appropriate kind of help. And for me to pretend that I could is to lie to you. And so it's got to be her choice. You can't make her do those things, but you can reinforce it by saying, you know, when she comes around, listen, that's not something I can talk to you about. That's something you need to talk with a sponsor about, or you need to talk with a counselor about. I can't do that. And if it has to go all the way out to, listen, you can't come over unless you're, you know, going to meetings, then that's fine. But it has to be, you have to be, have that clear boundary that says, this is what I need you to do. I want to be in a relationship with you. In order for this relationship to be good and healthy and safe and holy for both of us, I need to see you do A, B, and C. If you can do A, B, and C, then I can be part of your life. If you can't do A, B, and C, then I can't. And then it's up to her to decide whether she loves her addiction or you more. From what you said, you know, you said, I don't want her blood on my hands. That's a horrible burden to have to carry. I need you to understand, and this might be something that you need to seek some counseling for, that you're not responsible for saving your sister. I mean, you can't do even more than God does, right? This is what I'm describing to you. This is exactly how God deals with us. He says, I want to be part of your life. Let me love you. Let me help you. Let me be here for you. But in order for you to benefit from that help, you need to choose to let me in. If you want to handle things your own, on your own, in your own way, I love you enough and respect you enough to let you go do that. It's not going to work, but I respect your free will enough to let you go. That doesn't mean that our blood is on God's hands for the stupid things we decide to do apart from Him.
No, He's done everything for us. He's washed us clean. But he's God from the beginning of time has given us free will, and your sister has that free will as well. And the other thing I want to add to this is that just having her accept Christ is not necessarily going to suddenly keep her from being addicted to alcohol. That has happened for many people, but for many, many people, we all know some wonderful person of God who has faith, but actively has to struggle against their addiction every day. They have to go to meetings every day. They have to talk to a sponsor every day. They have to deal with really working with a therapist who can help them heal all of the stuff that is feeding that addiction. That God can give us the grace to commit more fully to that healing process, but very rarely does somebody get that instantaneous healing that comes from that. So I don't want you also promising her or promising yourself that if she makes a commitment to Christ in her life, if she lets Christ into her life, suddenly everything is going to get better.
Yeah, I mean, certainly it's good to pray through all this. It's good to pray for her. It's good to pray with her. But there is such a thing as spiritual bypassing. Spiritual bypassing is the term that refers to our tendency to our tendency as Christians to think that I can just kind of pray my way out of a problem. I mean, if God delivers me from something, God can deliver me from it. He's free to work a miracle anytime he wants. And I can certainly pray for that miracle. But it's the sin of presumption to count on that miracle. Right? And when I say the sin of presumption, it means it's basically I'm tempting God. You know, it's saying I'm going to jump off this cliff and God's going to save me.
Right, right? Just as Satan did in the desert, and Jesus was like, "No, you shall not tempt the Lord your God."
And that's the sin of presumption, right? So we can certainly pray for someone, pray with them. Someone who's struggling should be praying as well.
We can invite them to accept Christ into our lives because His grace and healing always works for us in our favor. But we can't assume that the minute somebody does that, anybody, that suddenly everything is going to do a complete 180. In their lives.
And so the most important thing here is really getting the help that she needs to clear the way. Because getting help by going to group or going to counseling, that's kind of a pre-evangelization. She's not in a place where she can accept the Lord in her life because she's got alcoholism on the altar where God needs to be.
And also, it would probably terrify her to think, well, if I accept Jesus in my life, I have to let go of alcohol. Alcohol, she feels, is serving what she needs, is somehow numbing all the fear and pain in her life. So it's probably terrifying for her to even think of accepting Christ into her life at this point. She needs someone to help walk her through this, heal this bit by bit, and get the support that she needs from people who are trained in this.
So by all means, continue to pray for her, offer to pray with her, but only if she's willing to go to counseling and to go to group. And if she's not, then you can't be the person that she uses to convince herself that she's quote-unquote doing something about her alcoholism. It's a very painful position to be in, but this is one of those areas where it's really clear what the loving choice is, and I hope that you'll find the courage to do it. And if you're struggling with that, and you're dealing with your own codependency, then I hope you can get some faithful help for working through that as well. And
yeah,
you can reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com if you'd like to.
And also, it's very, very important to be part of an Al-Anon group. Like, families of people dealing with addiction need that group support, need to know there are other people going through it and how it's being handled, and the right steps to draw boundaries and encourage people to find healing. And don't go through it alone. Get into a good Al-Anon group.
Thanks for your question. If there's more we can do for you, reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. And we're taking your questions, folks, at 877-573-7825 on our show titled Let Your No Mean No, as we talk about how to know when to say no. And how to feel confident in your ability to say no and hold those answers when you need to. 877-573-7825. Before we go to our break, I wanted to send out some congratulations to an EWTN radio partner, KSGS FM 99.9, serving Rio Grande City, Texas. They're celebrating 15 years with us. Congratulations to Raul Smith and his whole team at Good News Catholic Radio from all of us here at EWTN. And folks, wherever you are listening to EWTN Catholic Radio, make sure you're supporting your local EWTN radio station with your prayers, but with your dollars as well. Let's keep EWTN going strong for decades to come so we can keep supporting you and all your loved ones in living a more faithful, joyful, and abundant life. Again, thanks to Roel Smith and his team at Good News Catholic Radio and everybody who makes EWTN Radio possible, especially you, the listener. And as we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Galatians chapter 1, verse 10.
Am I now seeking human approval or God's approval? If I were still interested in pleasing people, I would not be a servant of Christ.
You know, and this, I think, partnered with Jesus' admonition to let our yes be yes and our no be no, really snaps things into focus here. You know, and the distinction between sentiment and love. You know, when we're deciding, we're rooting our decisions in sentiment, we're really just focusing on what do I need to do to feel better or to make this person feel better or to not feel bad or make sure this other person doesn't feel bad. I'm seeking human approval. I'm seeking to please them. But when we're really loving, we're asking, what is the best decision I could make to work for this person's ultimate good, and for mine as well? And if I can clarify that, then I can be confident I'm doing God's will, no matter what the situation is. And this is really what St. Paul's getting at here, you know, reminding us to be a servant of Christ, not a pleaser of people. 877-573-7825 is the number to call with your questions on our show titled Let Your No Mean No. And we'll be back with more of your questions and calls coming up right after the break.
At Glass Doctor, our trained specialists are experts at fixing foggy and cracked glass, leaving any residential window looking like new without replacing the entire window. Bring back the view of any window with Glass Doctor. Visit GlassDoctor.com to request a free estimate on repairing your foggy or cracked windows. Let Glass Doctor bring back your view.
Call the Glass Doctor, we'll fix your paint. Oh yeah!
Hey Catholic parents, could you use a break? Parenting is hard, especially at this time of year, and burnout can steal the joy right out of family life.
Join us, Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck, on Wednesday, March 18th at 7:30 p.m. Eastern for a free webinar sponsored by Ave Maria Radio titled Reclaiming the Joy of Parenting, Overcoming Burnout.
Discover practical, faith-filled ways to recharge your batteries and reclaim the joy of parenting. Register today at AveMariaRadio.net. Don't miss it. Your family's worth it.
Light of the East. Weekends on Ave Maria Radio.
I am Father Thomas Loya. This week on Ave Maria, the fourth Sunday and fifth week of Lent in the Byzantine Catholic liturgical calendar features a powerhouse of spirituality and culminates in a special service to the Mother of God.
Now on Ave Maria Radio's newest FM stations, 105.5 FM in Southfield and 107.9 FM in Ann Arbor.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popcheck.
I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck, and today's show is titled Let Your No Mean No, as we talk about how to know when to say no, and how to hold on to your decision when you need to make it. It's so easy to feel manipulated or pressured to say yes when we really need to say no, or go back on our answer when we've made the decision. Let us help you reclaim your confidence and know when to say yes or no. 877-573-7825. You can also send your questions to questions@moretoliferadio.com.
Well, Jen in Texas, who's listening on Guadalupe Radio, has a question. She says, my mother-in-law never takes no for an answer. Small things, like when we tell her not to feed the kids candy, means always that she'll bring extra candy, even more just stored in her purse than what she's shown us. And then she'll give it to our kids or just hide it in their rooms. Luckily, the kids tell us after she leaves. But it gets bigger from there. For Christmas, for example, we told her we would be opening gifts alone at our house this year. We really just want to make memories with our own kids. And then we would come to her house for opening presents and having dinner there. Well, she showed up at 7 a.m. Christmas morning because we weren't even awake yet because she, quote, didn't want to miss the joy. Now, we found out that she got reservations for Disney World at the same time we're going. We've been saving for this trip for years and just want to make family memories and solidify our own family and have a good time with our kids. And now we know that she's going to horn in on everything we do. Even if we don't tell her our exact schedule, she will figure out a way. She's impossible. I know she wants to be part of our family. I know she loves her grandchildren. But she will just not take no for an answer, and it's suffocating us. What can we do? And that's Jen listening in Texas.
So, Jen, what I'm going to share here with you is going to feel mean, all right? But it's really not, you know. And what your mother-in-law is doing here isn't really love. It's kind of narcissism, you know. Because
I was going to say suffocation, but you're right.
But it's narcissism. It's, you know, and I that label is thrown around so freely. I kind of hate to use it, but it's true. I mean, narcissism isn't always, I think I'm awesome. Narcissism is, you have to dance by my tune, right? Here are my ideas about how things should be, and you have to just do that because my plan is wonderful, and of course you want to do that. And I'm not really interested in what your concerns are or your needs are because this is my plan, and of course you should just come along. And so what you're really dealing with here is a narcissistic personality. I don't know to the degree if it's a disorder or not. I can't diagnose that on the air, certainly. But I can say that there are some strong narcissistic personality traits here. Because, right, if that was not the case, then when you said to your mother-in-law, hey, look, you know, we would really like to have this tradition, you know, in our home for Christmas or whatever. She would be disappointed. Oh gosh, I would really love to be with the, but I understand, and I want to support you in that, and so that's fine.
And also, she would be able to see that you're not cutting her out entirely because you're going to her house, you said, for dinner and opening presents there. So it's not like you said we're not going to see you on Christmas anymore, which many people have to live with just by, you know, the fact that they'll choose to go to one parent one year and another parent another year. You're saying, oh yeah, we're going to be part of Christmas. You'll get to see the kids. They'll open your presents. But we need this time for ourselves. And she just bursts in before you're even awake. Wow.
So that's why I started saying what I was saying with what I'm going to suggest to you is going to sound mean. Because when you're dealing with somebody who has these narcissistic tendencies, there's no way to set a limit with them where they act like they get it, or where they don't create a whole lot of drama and treat you like you are the FBI most wanted criminal, and that your picture should be in every post office in the country. I mean, so there's no way around this that isn't going to create drama. So you might want to pick your battle, you know, for whether you want to do this in Disney or you want to wait around something else. It's not going to matter what you do, like what you pick, because it's going to be the same drama, whether it's she shows up for dinner sometime when she wasn't invited, or she shows up on your vacation. So it's going to be the same level of drama no matter what. But what's going to have to happen is she's going to show up at your door, and you're going to need to say, gosh, Mom, I love you, and I'd really love to have you here, but unfortunately this isn't a good time. You can come at this time, but we can't have you here now. Bye. Close the door. That's going to feel awful, and she's going to treat you like you are the worst human being on the planet. But that's the only way to set this boundary. And so I would sit down with your husband, and I would really pray together about when you want to fight this battle. And you're going to have to draw that line, and you're going to have to hold it. And you're going to have to be very consistent with, like, so for example, you know, she shows up for Christmas at 7 a.m., you can't let her in your house. It's like, I'm sorry, we talked about this. We will be over at your house at thus and such a time. This is our time. We'll see you there later. Bye. And you're going to feel horrible, and she's going to treat you like you're horrible. But it's the only way you're going to be able to have a family life is if you can set some of these boundaries. And again, what Lisa was just pointing out, you're not cutting her out. You're giving her a perfectly acceptable way to be included in your family. You're being generous here, especially in light of the way she's stepping all over your boundaries. And any other reasonable parent, and we are parents of adult children, we've had our kids set limits with us, you know, we get it, and it can be frustrating or disappointing, but you have to accept that, and you have to work with it, right? And so the only way for this to work is if you set those boundaries and you really hold them. And when she acts like you're cutting her out of your life, you just remind her, no, this is when we can get together, but this time is not okay. The clearer you are with that, the more consistent you are with that, the quicker you're going to get through the whole thing. It's going to be ugly, but it's the loving thing to do, both for you and for her. Because let's go back to those three criteria we talked at the beginning of the show. You can only say yes to something if you can do something without jeopardizing your well-being, without failing to give your primary relationships or responsibilities the time and attention they deserve, or without enabling the other person to do something that's irresponsible or inappropriate. And if you can't say yes to all three of those points, then you have to say no. And in this case, you're jeopardizing your well-being by letting her just stomp all over your boundaries. You're not able to give your family the time and attention it needs by letting her stomp all over your boundaries. And you're not working for her good by letting her get away with doing this. Even if you say it's coming from a well-intentioned place, I believe it's coming from a wounded place, not so much a well-intentioned place. And I don't think that she can control it entirely. I think she needs to get some help. But she's not going to get help, and she's not going to recognize that what she's doing is not okay unless somebody sets those boundaries. And the kinds of limits that you've said in your message here are perfectly appropriate. You are not cutting her out. You're giving her healthy ways to be part of your life. You just need to really enforce that she choose those instead of doing whatever she wants and expecting you to come along. Thank you so much for the question. If there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com, where we can help you find a good Catholic counselor to help you navigate this challenge. And this goes for all you listeners out there. If you are struggling to say no or to hold your boundaries, then reach out to us. Let us help you find faithful ways to navigate those challenging situations in your marriage, family, or personal life. That's CatholicCounselors.com. Well, with that, thanks for tuning in. Until next time, remember that with God's grace, there is so much more to life. Have a blessed day.
More to Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. For copies and downloads of this program, and for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.